Now, if you've got your copy of the scriptures, I would invite you, as always, to open to Luke's Gospel in chapter 19. It's been a little while since I've had the opportunity to preach, just with traveling and some other things going on. I'm grateful once again to worship with you and open the Word of God together. Luke chapter 19. Safe to assume that nearly every children's Sunday school curriculum or Christian schooling has a cute little story of cute little Zacchaeus built into it. Each person this week, no joke, I'm not exaggerating, every last person, including my own family, asked me, "What are you preaching this Sunday?" I'd say Zacchaeus. Next words, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he." Sorry, now that's one of those things that gets stuck in your head and there's no getting it out, right? So let's see if we can bring things back. There is something fun, something charming, almost humorous about what happens in Jericho. A man especially noted as being short of stature. And he climbed a tree to see Jesus because he's too short. And perhaps we've all been told to climb our own trees and overcome any obstacle in our own life to get a glimpse of Jesus. And certainly while that's not entirely wrong, there's a great deal more of Christ that we want to see in this familiar passage from Luke 19. So verse 1 through 10. He, of course, that is Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and he came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. Let me pray for the Lord's blessing on His Word. Father, now this morning we come to this text. We have much to see, much to learn. We pray, O God, that You would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our eyes, our minds to this text. That You would speak to us, that we, Your servants, would listen. This is Your Word, O God, holy and true, steady and sure, infallible and errant. And so we pray that You would minister to us through it. We commit our morning into Your grace. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. 2 points this morning. We'll begin with Zacchaeus and his assessment of Jesus. Zacchaeus' assessment of Jesus. He was a wee little man, Zacchaeus was. I must tell you, I feel some sympathy for Zacchaeus. This is not a parable, right? This is a real man. And poor guy, for 2,000 years, everybody's just referred to him as this wee little man. Feels a little less than dignified, doesn't it? But he was a short fellow. He was a tax collector. That means he was a person in great power. As you see there in verse 2, he was not just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. That means he's elevated in his career. He's been doing this for a while, and he's good at it. He's made a career out of collecting taxes. And we might say, well, okay, it's a job. That's what that is. It's a tax collector. It's a job. Most of us get the hives when we think about the tax collector, I know. We can get all the IRS jokes, right? Teed up and just have them ready to go. But we can be sure that there are a number of things that God hates. Sin is one of them. Death is one of them. Taxes is one of them, we might say. Broccoli, for sure. But he's been working his career, and he's made a good career out of collecting taxes. He was rich, text says. Now, that's more than just a passing comment. He was rich. Context here matters. This explains why that matters. Here's how the system works. Tax collector is also, in some ways, something of a hybrid in our own society between a tax collector, but also a toll collector. You ever drive on those states that have those tolls, and you got to drop in there and throw your quarter or your dollar or whatever it is, the toll goes up. That's the idea here. That's what Zacchaeus was. So he's in a place called Jericho. This was a major crossroads. So he's a busy man. He's got a great assignment. And he is here, and if you're in a caravan or you're carrying some merchant with you or whatever it may be, and you're coming to the crossroads, you're going to pass into the city of Jericho. Now you're coming into the territory that is under the authority of people like Zacchaeus. So you're bringing your caravan or some other goods with you. You're going to pass through this toll, if you will. And there is Zacchaeus. And there's a line, and he's at the front of the line, and as everybody passes through, it's his job to assess the values and the worth of the goods you're transporting through the territory. So here's how this works. You're Zacchaeus, somebody comes to you, and you assess the value at, say, $100. Let's keep it simple. You got $100 worth of goods there. So I'm Zacchaeus, and I say to you, it's $100. That's the fee that I'm assessing on the value of your goods. But you just hold on a minute there. I think I'll charge you $150. How about that? And you got no recourse for this. So the tax man says it's $150. You say, well, here's your $150. And you give it to Zacchaeus, and then Zacchaeus signs a piece of paper, and he tells the government that he has assessed the value of this caravan at $100. And so he gives to the government their $100, and he takes the extra $50, and he lines his pocket. Next, and they go, and they come, and it's not hard to see how the tax collector is two things simultaneously. One, deeply despised for the people, because what he's doing is not illegal. It may be questionably moral, but it's not strictly illegal, which means there's no recourse. You don't get to go to the governor and say, you know, this guy down there at gate B, he's charging way too much. The governor says, it's his gate. Charge whatever he wants to charge. So he's deeply despised, as are the tax collectors, the rest of the tax collectors. And these are wealthy people. The better they are at their job, the wealthier they get, because the more scam they're able to perform on all of the people. So that's how this works. Zacchaeus, because he was wealthy. Not all wealth comes by crooked ways, you understand, but in Zacchaeus' context, the wealth comes from crooked ways. And he was short of stature, chief tax collector, rich, and a wee little man. Now, there's something stirring within this man. Jesus is coming. He knows who this is. and Zacchaeus, this is where there's a little bit of a surprising turn, a little surprising twist here. Something very unexpected happens. Because Jesus knows that Zacchaeus knows that it's Jesus coming. There's other places when there's a large crowd coming and somebody else doesn't know who's coming. Blind Bartimaeus, for example. Who is it that's coming down the road? And they do what they can. They elbow their way up there to see who it is or to get close to the person. Zacchaeus, that's not really an option, but he knows who's coming. This is surprising what comes next because I would expect Zacchaeus, you would expect Zacchaeus to run the other way. Zacchaeus knows what he has done. If he has any conscience at all, you would expect Zacchaeus to say, oh, it's Jesus coming? I'm out of here. And turn and run. I don't want to see Jesus. This is the one who's healed people. This is the one who has proven himself to be the Son of Man, to be the Son of God. Jesus, by the way, is on his way through Jericho onto Jerusalem. The cross is looming. That's a big deal in the life of Jesus. This is one of his last large crowd interactions before he gets to Jerusalem and his whole kangaroo court unfolds. You're Zacchaeus. You've cheated everybody around you out of much money. And you know the law. He knows. If you're guilty of such things, you must pay restitution. Double for this, up to 20% of that, or four times for this. He knows that. So I would expect, and you would expect Jesus, or Zacchaeus to know it's Jesus coming, and run the other direction. For darkness to flee the light, for wickedness to flee from glory. That's what I'd expect. But that's not what happens with Jesus, or with Zacchaeus, is it? What does he do? Well, he's at a physical disadvantage. He can't see. But there's this stirring happening within Zacchaeus. And he's resourceful. He knows the route that Jesus must take to enter the city, especially with a crowd this size walking with him. So he runs on ahead, knowing Jesus soon will pass by. And he climbs a tree. He wants two things. The text makes it clear he wants to see Jesus, but there's a stirring happening within Zacchaeus. There's something else Zacchaeus wants. What is it? He wants to be seen by Jesus. One commentator put it like this: Jesus appears here in his most attractive role as the gracious redeemer of lost men and women. He wants to see Jesus. But he wants to be seen by Jesus. That's because there's this stirring of the heart happening in this man. We would call it the movement of the Holy Spirit, drawing this man untoward Christ, irresistibly drawing this man. That's how salvation works. There's nothing in you. There was nothing in Zacchaeus that would commend him to Christ. He's not looking at Jesus and saying, Jesus, look how good I am. It would be the exact opposite. He knows how foul he is. He knows that he has cheated virtually everybody else in this crowd. All the people he's cheated are the ones blocking him and elbowing him out of the way. He knows that. He knows he's worth nothing. Why on earth would he climb a tree to be seen by Jesus? What's the answer to that? It's because the Holy Spirit is stirring within him. That's the way salvation works. Salvation is never of your own free will. It's not. Your will is absolutely and perfectly free to act only according to its own nature. And your nature is never untoward God. Not until Christ breathes life in you and sparks a change. And something is stirring within Zacchaeus. He wants to be seen by Jesus. Somewhere near you, hopefully, there is a red Trinity hymnal. I don't know if there's enough for everybody. Some of them have walked away. But find one nearby you and find page 871. I want to read something to you. And if you can't find one, you've got your phone, which is surely on silent. Then you can Google Westminster Shorter Catechism, number 30. Or page 871 in your Trinity hymnal. Question 30 gives an answer. The Spirit applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ by working faith in us and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. And now I want you to listen to this question and answer number 31. This is so insightful. This is so good. This is almost 400 years of sticking power in this theology. What is effectual calling? You see, that's what's on display under the sycamore tree in Luke 19. Is a real man being effectually called. So what is that? What is effectual calling? Here's the answer. It is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, that's how they used to write in those days, convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, God's Spirit does persuade us and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. What a beautifully written summary of the work of the Holy Spirit by which a lost sinner, somebody who is still in their sin and shame, as we sang about earlier, or in this old language, their sin and misery, pulling a person out of that and into life. Zacchaeus is here irresistibly drawn to the Lord Jesus. And so he does the extraordinary. To climb the low-branched sycamore. Because he wanted better. He needed to be seen by Jesus. How does Zacchaeus assess the Lord Jesus as a Savior? That's the answer. As a Savior. We slightly giggle at the visual of the wee little man, Zacchaeus, eager to see Jesus. But that's just it, isn't it? He was eager to see Jesus, and he was eager to be seen by him. One of the commentaries I have refers to this encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus as the heart of the gospel. Not the heart as in the center of it, but the heart. You see Jesus' affection for this foul sinner. Just before this encounter with Zacchaeus, Jesus had another encounter with the one person that everyone would want in their church, the rich young ruler, and he sent him away. And then there's the parable of the publican gathering in the sanctuary for prayer. And he checks all the boxes. He's got the pressed suit and the plastic hair. And he looks perfect. He's in line for all the big stuff of the kingdom. And he went away justified. And there's Zacchaeus, the tax collector. What's it telling us? It's telling us in the simplest way that the gospel is for the outcast. For the one who knows that he or she has nothing in their account. For the person who knows that he or she brings nothing but total spiritual bankruptcy. To that one, the Lord stops and listens. The Lord stops and sees. The Lord stops and calls. And that leads to our second point, that Jesus assesses Zacchaeus. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Jesus stopped at the place. That's grace. Jesus stopped and looked up exactly as Zacchaeus had hoped. That's grace. "Zacchaeus," he says, don't you love how Jesus calls him by name? He's not a number. There's no numbers in the kingdom of God. Don't you love those emails you get? A special invitation, you know, for a limited few and for a limited opportunity. Then you click on it. "Dear friend," oh, you can't even use my name. That's how close we are. "Dear customer number, you know, 507-3864-70218, we sure appreciate and value your friendship." Not with Jesus. His nature won't allow you to be a face in the crowd. His nature won't allow you to be a mere number. "Zacchaeus, come down from there." Jesus is not an impersonal Savior. He's a faithful shepherd who calls you by name. "Fear not," Isaiah 43 says, "for I know you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Some of you, maybe all of you, need to hear Jesus call you by name. I know you need that. Of course you do. Because maybe for some of you, there's still the pain of an empty chair at your home. Or maybe for others of you, there's the uncertainty of what comes next. There's the ache of a lost child, born or unborn. There's a sense of loss that perhaps your best days and your highest value are behind you. And you wonder if there's anything left to offer. You need to hear the voice of your faithful shepherd who calls you by name, saying to you, "Look up. Look upward and see your faithful shepherd who will pursue you as the hound of heaven, who will pursue you all the way home." Where do you go for that? Where do you go to hear the voice of your shepherd calling you? The answer is you go to the Scriptures and no other place. For there alone is where Jesus calls you. So he calls Zacchaeus, "Come down. For today, I must stay at your house." That's a significant little word. "I must stay at your house." It's a matter of necessity for him. It's a matter of necessity for Jesus. It's true the text doesn't say what Jesus' purpose is. It doesn't say, "I must come to your house for these four reasons." Why does Jesus feel this urgency on his way to Jerusalem? Well, maybe the crowd helps us understand that. Darabok knows that it might be that the visit to Zacchaeus' house gives Jesus a chance to underscore his mission. He's on his way to the cross. And he's not going to die for the righteous. For it is not for the righteous that he has come, but for the unrighteous that he has come. He has not come for the healthy, but for the sick. He has not come for the one who is freed from any sense of sin or misery. He's come specifically for that person. And so he stops. And he finds the one who's the most notorious sinner at Gate B of Jerusalem, of Jericho. And he says, I must stay at your house. That's where I simply must go. It underscores his mission. And what is that mission? Look at verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Never to seek and then leave them there. When you were a child, you played a game of freeze tag. Did you play that game, or is that just the California thing? You run around, you tag the person, they can't move. Until somebody comes along, tags them later. You know. That's not the way it is with Jesus. He never comes and says, tag, freeze. No, he comes and he seeks, then he brings with him. He comes to seek and to save. He never goes and finds the person that has wandered off and then leave them there. Nor does he ever go and save without the personal shepherd's touch. For when the shepherd seeks, he gathers up what he finds. He has come to seek and save the lost. That's what he's doing under the tree. Zacchaeus, I must stay at your home. The outcast, the forgotten, the less than liked one, the unworthy one, he is the God who sees. And he sees you. He sees you. And he must come. And he will come. What is Jesus' assessment of Zacchaeus? Look at verse 9. Today salvation has come to this house, because he too, you can almost see him look at this large crowd of Hebrew people as he pulls Zacchaeus down, pointing at him. He too is a son of Abraham. A son of Abraham. What is that? Doesn't that sound like some Bible talk? It's a son of Abraham. Turn forward in your Bible a few pages, maybe a handful of pages, to Galatians. It's chapter 3. Here's the Apostle Paul writing the church in Galatia. And he's helping them get things right. Paul is writing to them to help them straighten out some things. And he says, for you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And he's writing to a church that's full of Jews and Gentiles. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. That's clothing oneself with Christ is the idea of putting on Christ, or putting on the robe, if you will, of Christ's righteousness, without which no one will see God. You have clothed yourself. You have been covered as with the robe in the righteousness, not of yourself, but of Christ. That's true of you. Verse 28, for there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants. heirs according to promise. Back under the sycamore, in Luke 19, he pulls Zacchaeus down. Says to Zacchaeus, says everybody around, this one's a child of the covenant. That's what this is about. This is a child of the covenant. An heir according to promise. Oh, Jesus. Now you've gone too far. This man has taken everything from us. He's charged us way more than anything is worth, and he's lined his own pockets, and he's bought all kinds of toys with them. He's probably got a beach house. You can't be serious. And Jesus says, this one is an heir according to promise. You see how the gospel cuts through it all? Cuts through all of our preconceived ideas, cuts through all of our hurts, all of our pains, and would whisper that sacred promise that you, if you are in Christ, you are an heir of the promise, child of the covenant. I want to say to those of you who still have children in the home, and perhaps your children are saying things and doing things and making decisions that cause you great consternation, I want you to remember the covenant. You will not make your children Christians because you make good parenting decisions. And you will not drive them away from Christ because you make bad parenting decisions. Christ will draw them because they are heirs of the promise. Children of the covenant. And so Jesus pulls Zacchaeus down. He said, this is a son of Abraham. He is an heir of the covenant, inheriting the promise of God. Before God set the earth and the heavens, or laid the beams of its chambers upon the waters, he called you by name. He established his covenant in you. And he placed the seal of that covenant love upon you and said, this one is mine. He does this not because you bring something to offer. He does this out of the sheer greatness of his mercy. Don't let his mercy pass you by, as it did for so many others under the sycamore that day. But receive him into the home of your own heart and soul, and cherish his great love for you. Let's pray. Our Father, we are profoundly humbled, for we see ourselves in that sycamore tree. We see the marks of conversion in Zacchaeus. He would give up that which he has stolen, and he would make restitution as the law demanded. Yet there was nothing he could do to commend himself to his fellow men, nor could he do anything to commend himself to his Savior. But you reached up and you pulled him out of the tree, for you saw him, you called him by name, and so you have done for each of us who know you by faith. So I would pray, O God, for those that are caught in a life of sin and misery, that you would effectually call them, that they would let go of those things that would ensnare them. They would increasingly, by faith and the strength of Christ, put those things to death. I pray, O God, that they may truly be converted to know this Christ by faith. Lord, I pray that you would comfort those who need to be seen by you today. Would you see them Would you mark them? Would you draw them? Would you open their eyes? Would you open their ears that they may hear you calling them through the scriptures, knowing that you call them by name and not a number? Oh, Father, we thank you for your blessed salvation. Restore to us each the joy of that salvation. We commit our hearts into your grace. We pray, oh God, you would minister to us by the word and your spirit. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand together?